All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:16:20 and 21. Tirtanam Shotasam Ganga Samudra Sarasamaham Ayutanam Danur Aham Tripuragno Danusmritam.
18. Okay. 1:8-21.
Okay, thank you. Uchchai Shravasa, Uchchai Shravas, Turanganam, Dhatanam Asmikanchanam, Yama Samyamatam Chaham, Sarpanam Asmivasukihi. Okay, the garland makers can make the garlands quietly. Among horses, I am Uchchai Shrava, and I am gold among metals. I am Yamraj among those who suppress and punish, and among serpents, I am Vasuki. Nagendra nam anantoham mrigendra shringitang srinam ashramanam aham turyo varnanam pratamanakha. O sinless Uddhava, among the best of snakes I am Anantadev, and among those animals with sharp horns and teeth I am the lion. Among the social orders, I am the fourth, or the renounced order of life, and among the occupational divisions, I am the first, the Brahmanas. Tirtanam Shotasam Ganga Samudra Sarasamaham Ayudhanam Dhanuraham Tripuragno Tanishmatam. Among sacred and flowing things, I am the holy Ganges, and among steady bodies of water, I am the ocean. Among weapons, I am the bow, and of the wielders of weapons, I am Lord Shiva. Dishyanam Asmi Aham Merur Gahananam Himalayaha Vanaspatinam Ashvata Oshadhinam Aham Yavaha Dishyanam Asmyaham Merur Gahananam Himalayaha Vanaspatinam Ashvata Oshadhinam Aham Yavaha Dishyanam Asmyaham Merur Gahananam Himalayaha Vanaspatinam Ashvata Oshadhinam Aham Yavaha Dishyanam Asmyaham Merur Gahananam Himalayaha Vanaspatinam Ashvata Oshadhinam Aham Yavaha Dishyanam Asmyaham Merur Gahana nam Himalayah.
Tinam Ashvata.
Oshadhina Mahamyabaha. Aushadhina Mahamyavaha. Ladies, okay, Tishnyanam residences, Asmi am, Aham I, Meruhu Mount Sumeru, Gahananam of impervious places, Himalayaha, the Himalayas, Vanaspatinam, among trees, Ashvataha, banyan tree, Oshadhinam, among plants, Aham, I, Yavaha, barley. Among residences, I am Mount Sumeru, and of impervious places, I am the Himalayas. Among trees, I am the holy fig tree, and among plants, I am those that bear grains. Purport. Oshadhinam here indicates those plants that fructify once and then die. Among them, those that give grains, which sustain human life, represent Krishna. Without grains, it is not possible to produce milk products, nor can anyone properly perform fire sacrifices without offering grains. Om Jnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dathati Shapadantikam Bandehang Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavamstra Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitanstra He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinavanto Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kol Pitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. Uchchai Shava Turanganam Dataham Datinam Asmi Kanchanam Yama samyamatam chaham sarpanam asmi vasukihi. There are various points in these verses. Of course, these echo or parallel the statements given by the Lord in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti Yoga. These are all vibhutis or specific opulences of the Lord. Keshu keshu chabhaveshu chintyosmi Bhagavan Maya. Arjuna asked in the 10th chapter, how can I always think of you, even in material things? And so the Lord gave examples. And he said, yad yad vibhutimat sattvam srimad urjitameva tad tadeva bhagachatvam mamate jamsa sambhava. Whatever you see that's great, that's wonderful, that's beautiful, that represents me. It comes from a little spark of my energy. So, Uchai Shavasa Ashvanam, among horses, Uchai Shava, among metals, gold. The gold has always had value. Lead has never been prominent as a unit of, as a medium of currency. Silver, gold have always held value. Now we have paper and even plastic, which is currency because someone says that it's currency. It's called fiat money. It's worth something because it's declared to be worth something. On the American bills, it says, this bill is legal tender for all debts, private and public. Your Indian currency is really cool. Instead of, it says what our bills in America used to say, like the dollar bill used to say, I promise to give the bearer on demand $1 in silver. It was a silver dollar note. I promise to give the bearer on demand $1 in silver. Then they, since they don't do that anymore, they changed it. This is legal money for all debts. But your Indian currency is very nice. If you look on your 1 rupee note or 100 rupee note, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of 100 rupees. So if you give a 100 rupee note to the Central Bank of India, they'll give you another 100 rupee note. And if that doesn't satisfy you, you can ask for 10 tens or 100 ones. But all you'll get for your paper is paper. So it's a kind of cheating because there's nothing really behind it. It's not that it's required that your 100 rupees have to have 100 worth rupees worth of value behind it. And in fact, upon, what shall we say, in time of need, we can just print more 100 rupee notes, 1,000 rupee notes, and in this way, Prabhupada said, prostitute the currency. Okay. Yama samyamatamaham sarpanam asmi vasukihi nagendranam anantoham. Krishna says that among the serpents I'm Vasuki and among the snakes I'm Ananta. So then, and the same thing in Bhagavad Gita, anantas chasmi naganam. Among the snakes, I'm Ananta, and among the serpents, I'm Vasuki. So then someone says, well, what's the difference? A serpent is a snake. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to Bhagavad Gita as it is, that the sarpas have one hood, and the nagas have many hoods. So a sarp is a one-hooded snake and a naga is a many-hooded snake. That's the difference. Ashramanam aham turyo varnanam pratamo nika. I'm the fourth order of life and I'm the Brahminical occupational division. Among the four orders, All are important, but the Brahmins are more important because they give vision to the society. The head is the most important part of the body, even though all the parts are needed. And sannyas is the most important of the social orders, where one gets free from the entanglement of family life and becomes simply entangled in devotional service to Krishna. Tirthanam shrotasam ganga samudra sarasamaham ayudhanam danurham tripuragno danushmitam. So there's a difference. In Bhagavad Gita, ayudhanam aham vajra. Among weapons, I'm the vajra, the lightning bolt of Lord Indra. And here, I'm the bow. So someone says it's contradictory, but Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. So he's the lightning bolt, he's the bow, he's the, well, he's the arrows, he's the shotgun, he's everything. Tripuragno dushmatam, danushmatam. We missed a purport here. Lord Shiva used his bow to completely cover with arrows the three demonic cities built by Mayadhanava. So, therefore, he's called Tripuragna. He destroyed the three cities of Mayadhanava. Tishnyanam asmyaham meru. Among residences, Meru. Like Petter Road and all of that. The place to be is Meru. Gahananam Himalaya Vanaspitam Ashvata. Ashvata Sarvavikshana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, among trees, I'm the Ashvata tree. There's some, which here is translated holy fig, especially for the benefit of the non-Indians, but even Indians might benefit from some clarification. There are different kinds of fig trees mentioned. One is the Ashvata. And another is the banyan tree. And a third, not mentioned, is anjir, the grocery store fig tree. So the Ashvata and the banyan also belong to the fig family, botanically speaking, even though you don't get edible figs from them. So then neither of these two trees is that kind of tree. Even though it's called the holy fig tree, you're not going to eat holy figs from this tree. Now, what's the difference between the banyan tree and the Ashvata tree? They're also different. One is called Ficus religiosa. That's the Ashvata. The other has, I think, Ficus bengalensis, something like that. The banyan tree, what's officially called the banyan tree, has leaves, is the one that has roots going in every direction, this way, that way. That's the one in the Calcutta Botanical Garden that goes for on and on and on. And its leaves go kind of like this. They're basically like an oval-shaped leaf, or like tear-shaped, or, you know, like the way eyes are sometimes drawn. That's the banyan tree. In Hindi, what is that? Butt-vriksh, right? That's butt-vriksh. Then, Ashvat is, the leaf is shaped differently. It has a long, slender little tail on the very end of the leaf. That's the Ashvata tree. And that's what people in Hindi mean, right? the peepal tree, is the Ashwata. So in case anyone ever asks you, now you're up on the botany of the different kinds of figs here. But Prabhupada always translates Ashwata as banyan, which to me makes sense because you get the picture, because the Ashwata tree also has roots going up and down the way that a banyan tree does. And it's not, as we would picture in America, you say a fig tree, we start to see figs. So it's, Prabhupada always translates Ashwata as banyan tree. But technically speaking, these are the differences. Anything else about that? Yeah, they asked Prabhupada, because in Nectar of Devotion in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says that one should worship the Ashwata tree. And one other tree also is mentioned as... Which tree? I don't know. Anyway, there are two trees mentioned as being worshipable, with a D, I think. Anyway. And anyway, one other tree, and then this Ashwata. No, that's banyan. That's Ashwata. But there's another one also. Anyway, they asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, should we worship these trees? Prabhupada said, we worship Tulsi Devi, tree worship finished. Then Oshadhinam Aham Yabaha. The grains are mentioned. Annad Bhamti Bhutani, because all living beings depend on grains. The Prabhupada points out that in the factories, you can't manufacture grains. This is Krishna's arrangement. You plant seeds and you get grains, you get fruits, you get vegetables, you get so many things which are required by human society, especially grains. In Bengal, unless they have rice, the workers won't work. You can't satisfy them even with rasgullas or anything. It has to be grains, because that's where we get our strength. So, and the animals also, the cows especially, live from grains. So the grains can't be produced by human endeavor only. Krishna's arrangement is there that anyad bhamanti bhutani parjanya anyasambhava. For the grains also you need rain, you need the seeds, you need the sunshine, you need the earth. So all of these are supplied by Krishna. No scientist can simply manufacture these things. And if somehow he could manufacture them, he'd have to start with the ingredients given by Krishna. So therefore, we're all dependent. We may declare independence. I don't need anyone. There's no God. There's no this. There's no that. But finally, we're all dependent on Krishna's arrangement. Even if we say we're dependent on Mother Nature. But nature is also under the supervision of the personality of Godhead. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. Nature, material nature, doesn't produce anything on its own. Matter doesn't produce anything. It's not that the wood and the bricks and the steel will just assemble themselves into a temple building. That requires intelligence. And we can see practically how wonderful these things are, the grains, the fruits, the vegetables. If any scientist could come up with something, you know, a little
some machine that just extracts minerals from the ground and mixes them with water and then packages citric acid in little yellow or green biodegradable packages. We'd say he's a marvelous scientist. But when Krishna does it, we say there's no God. Prabhupada gave the example that a dog is barking, everyone ignores it. But if a man barks, everybody will go, wow. Well, Krishna is doing so many wonderful things, and people are ignoring. And if some puny scientist does some small thing, then everybody says, wow, it's amazing. So finally, we're dependent on Krishna's arrangement. And the real human life means to acknowledge that Krishna is the supreme controller, Krishna is the supreme owner of everything, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and supreme friend. Then you can have peaceful life. Otherwise, it's just a life of exploitation, falsely claiming Krishna's property to be our own, falsely trying to manipulate by substituting one thing for another thing. Oh. Yes. So here the Lord's opulences are described just to give us the opportunity to be Krishna conscious. Whatever is great, whatever is wonderful, is just a small spark of Krishna's energy. And there's so many great, wonderful things. I mean, some of them, like Mount Sumeru, we can't even see. The Himalayas, we can see. And Himalayas are wonderful enough. There's so many wonderful things. They just represent a tiny fraction. Atavaba honaitena kim gatena tavarjana. Vistabhyaham idam krishna mekang shena stitojaka. Krishna says, with a little fraction of my energy, I create the whole material world. What more is there to say? Atava bahunayatena kim gatena. What more is to be known? With one spark of my energy, I support the whole, or one fragment of myself, ekang shena. By my plenary portion as the Mahavishnu, I expand all the universes. Then I enter them again, plenary portion, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Then Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. So how great Krishna is, how small we are, this we have to understand. All right, I'll stop here and see what questions, if any. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we are hardly getting your association.
Hardly?
Getting your association.
And that's your good fortune.
You have given your life in spiritual life for so many years. Maharaj, we are also somehow or other trying to accept Krishna consciousness and try to take it seriously. I always have one doubt in my mind is that there might be something which we might not take it so seriously, and at the end of our life, when we are about to leave our body, at that time we might be feeling it, oh, because I didn't took this thing seriously, I am having a big problem in my Krishna consciousness, and this is becoming a big obstacle in my going back home, back to Godhead. So can you just tell us, after so many years in devotional life, that what is the most important thing that a person who is in spiritual life has
most
to take
important
it?
Thing?
What a person has to take it, when a person is taking spiritual life, what is the most important thing that he has to keep it in his mind, that it doesn't miss a goal of Krishna consciousness of going back to Godhead, and he should not have something problematic at the end of his life?
Well, I don't have a secret formula that you know, there's this one thing that they didn't tell you about, you have to remember that, or one thing that they didn't focus on and you knew about it but you didn't know it was so important. All the message is there. We have to think of Krishna, manmana, ananyas chintiyanto mam, yejana paryupasate. One has to think of Krishna. then how to think of Krishna? Kamim puranam anushashitaram anuraniyam samanusmaredya sarvasyatataram achintyurupam adityavarnam tamasaparastam. Krishna is Tubhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the personality of Godhead. And our identity is Jivir Sharupoi, Krishna Nityadas. We're servants of Krishna. So there's no one. Make sure you think of this. Make sure you think of that. Don't skip this. Don't skip that. Everything is known. And the process is also known. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami on the practice of sadhana, then abhidheya, then love of Godhead. So the sadhana is described, 64 items of devotional service. Out of those, 5 are especially important. Sadhu Sangha, to associate with devotees, to serve the deity of the Lord, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And to live in Vrindavan or Mayapur or temple or holy place. These are any one of these 5. If one becomes attached to any one of these 5, that can bring one to the right point. And our whole Krishna conscious movement actually is saturated with these 5 things. The chanting of Hare Krishna, message of Bhagavatam, association of devotees, spiritual atmosphere. So, Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, talking about the vanprastha life or a retirement life, this doubt used to be there in our mind that when a person has been self-made man, he didn't got anything from the ancestor property. He has earned on his own. And after earning on his own, he has made his life very secured. And when he accepts his vanprastha life, he will give his share to his family members the way he's supposed to be given so that they become happy. But then a big chunk of money that has been left out, that money he should take care of himself and spend in Krishna conscious activities in vanprastha life, or he should give it everything to the family members and go away.
Okay. First thing is, he's self-made man, he's made his position secure. That's already illusion. First of all, self-made man, actually without Krishna's help, he couldn't have made himself anything. Second thing is that the so-called security is an illusion. That I have money in the bank doesn't mean that my position is secure. The wealthy man can be run over by a truck as much as the poor man. At any moment, one can be finished. And money in the bank doesn't give security. When men with money become crazy, men with money get heart disease, men with money, all the other things that happen to men without money happen to men with money also. Therefore, no security. But anyway, he has money. He doesn't have actually security, he has money. The two are different. But now what should he do with the money? Because the money is considered to have value. Should he, and he's vanaprastha now, he shouldn't be attached to having so-called security money. So what does he do? Should he give it all to his family members? And Prabhupada said no. That one goes to Vrindavan and surrenders to the Lord, my dear Lord, I'm surrendering myself completely to you, and whatever money you've given me, I'm giving to my family. No. The money is also Krishna's. The money should be given to the Lord. Not that physical byproducts get the money and you get what's left of me. The money should be used in the service of the Lord. But Prabhupada, throughout his books, gives a formula, or he cites the formula of Rupa Goswami, who retired by giving 50% to the family members, 25% to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and keeping 25% against personal emergencies. It is a problem that if we give money to family members, in the biblical book it said that I'll have to give money to, that I'll work so hard and make so much money and leave it behind to someone else, and he may be a fool. With such skill and care and attention, I made so much money, and the next person just squanders it. And we're not in a position to do anything, because when you're dead, you've lost control. This is one of the cruelties of the material world, that there's no certainty that the person to whom we leave the money will be as careful and judicious as we've tried to be. That is a problem. Anyway, Prabhupada gives that formula that 50% for family members, 25% for Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and 25% against personal emergency.
Maharaj, the problem that comes up is this way. Okay, you give 50% to your family members and 50% you keep it for yourself, so that 25% you give to the person to whom that is needed. But that takes time, because you will not throw the money as it's.
That takes courage, you say?
You will, that 25% which you wanted to serve for the Vaishnavas or for the preaching or everything, that you will not throw the money unless until you don't get convinced, you will not spend that money. Or you will not give it. You should get convinced.
Anandabinda, slow down a little bit. Please.
That 25% of the money which Prabhupada says that we have to give to the Vaishnavas or we have to use him for preaching purpose, that 25% you will not give on the spot.
Yeah, that also should be intelligent. Any donor, whether he's giving to a temple, a church, a hospital, any kind of charity, Red Cross, if he's intelligent, he examines, just like an investment.
Yes.
Before I invest in some company, I do all this homework. I have a big stack of paper this high because I have to see, am I going to get a profit out of this? Otherwise, why am I investing? So he very carefully examines, how's my money going to grow? Correct. What's my return on investment?
Correct.
Similarly, an intelligent person, if he's giving to charity, gives to a suitable person at a suitable time for a suitable purpose, and that means discrimination. Discrimination means proper use of intelligence. Someone comes to know that now I'm retiring from householder life, so then a big lineup of Brahmins come, you know. I'm a Brahmin. Give me money. No one has to see how that money is going to be judiciously used. We've talked about this before. In the Krishna consciousness movement, money should be very carefully managed. And if you want to get more money from donors, how you manage it and what you have should be reported so that they'll get confidence. This is how much they have. This is how they use it. This is how it's safeguarded. This is how it increases. And then that generates confidence and people think, yes. Otherwise, they have some unknown amount of money. They use it for, we're not quite sure what purpose. And they're internally, how much is going for, you know, the managers and their families, we don't know. And how much is actually at the end going for the charitable purpose, how much is getting lost along the way, we don't know. All right, then let me give someplace else where I know.
So Maharaj, the problem that comes up is this way, that we have to see, we have to discriminate, we have to check it out that the money has been getting properly utilized in Krishna's service.
Hmm.
That takes time, that takes energy, that takes discrimination also. And we have to definitely use our energy into that, so that nobody should undue take the advantage of that money.
Yeah. I mean, we went through so much time, we invested so much time, energy and intelligence to gather the money. So how much should we use to distribute the money? A simple thing. Not that with so much intelligence and care and effort, I got the money, and then I closed my eyes and distributed it. Makes sense that I'll give it to a qualified person. That's charity in the mode of goodness, to a qualified person at a suitable time for a suitable purpose.
So, Marad, my point was this way, that this is 25%, and balance 25% which you have kept it for yourself, there also you have to see to it that it has been properly employed, properly put in some place where you can get good appreciation, it has been properly secured, it gets a steady return.
Of course,
also.
This is personal financial advice, what to do, how to manage your 25%. That's a little bit beyond, I mean, that's your seminar. You'll have to speak about that.
No, Maharaj, what I meant to ask you was this way, that this 50% itself is taking lots of energy of yours in taking care of this money and spending the money also. It takes lots of energy. And that is taking, and sometimes that doubt comes up in our mind, that here I am a vanprastha. I am completely trying to focus myself in Krishna consciousness, but my energy is going only in the sake of only thinking of money. At that time, what
therefore,
to do?
First of all, I'm going to take a risk and say that even though Prabhupada says 25, 25, and 50, my educated guess is that if you gave less than 50 under some circumstances, and Prabhupada wouldn't object. If you said the family's getting less, Krishna's getting more. Especially if there's a lot, you know, then the family gets enough to swim in. Why? So the point is the family shouldn't starve. Family should have, what is Jivasya Tattva Jigyasa? Family should have enough to keep body and soul together. They should live suitably. Then if there's excess, that also give to Krishna. Then do it and be done with it. Not that you're keeping a fund of, you know, so much, and over the rest of your life you're managing that fund. You can do that, but if your concern is that I'm always thinking about this money, this, that, then all right, give it to a responsible person. Just like Prabhupada, he had his copyrights, which were worth money, and he put them in trust. I gave them to trustees. Of course, he was one of the trustees because it was for Krishna's purpose. Still, he stayed involved and he didn't think, no, I'm always thinking of money. He was thinking of money. But that doesn't mean he wasn't thinking of Krishna. There's two different ways of thinking of money. One is thinking of money for sense gratification. The other is thinking of money for Krishna's service. At the very end of his life, Prabhupada remembered, I have some money in such and such fixed deposits, you should see to this. On his deathbed, Prabhupada threw, you know. Why? It's not like he was a miser, you know, I still have some money. I haven't told you about this money, but I am having some money in this account and that account. Don't let it be lost. Not like that, not like some old miser who's at the very end of his life, he's thinking, money, money, my money. Prabhupada was thinking of Krishna. And for Krishna's service, some money is there. It's Krishna's money. And it's in my care, so that money should be seen to and used for Krishna's service. So Prabhupada was thinking of money. It's not like after he dealt with money, he washed his hands. You know, now I've become content. Prabhupada told the story that there's some celebrated sadhu who was so pure that if anyone tried to give him money, his hand would just go behind his back. You know, involuntarily the hand would shrink away. Prabhupada said, you give me money, my hand goes like this. Because I'll use the money for Krishna. Prapancha kataya budhya hari sambandhi vastunaha umumkshubi parityago varagyam paugu kachyate. To think that this money is material and so we don't want anything to do with it is dry renunciation. It's dry renunciation. the money should be used for Krishna's service. That's the first point. The money is also spiritual. Among metals, I'm gold. Gold is also Krishna's energy. Everything is Krishna's energy. The Krishna's energy should be used in Krishna's service. That's the point. Now, still, from a personal point of view, at some point of my life, I may no longer want to be involved in administration of money and care of money and details of money and banking. Then we entrust it to some suitable persons, because I'm not going to be perpetually on the scene to see to the administration and see. So then I have to entrust it to qualified people that I have faith in, that now I'm handing this over to you. Here are the purposes. Here are the rules. You do it. And that's what Prabhupada did with his MVT, with BBT. He put the money in trust, and then now you manage it. Although, again, he was staying involved, but he knew, I'm not going to be involved forever. So he put it in trust. Now, even the part that I'm keeping for myself, that's the initial program. Keep 25% against personal emergencies. But at some point, forget the personal emergencies. That may also come. Just like Rupa Goswami kept 25% against emergencies, then he spent it to get Sanatana Goswami released from, then finished, you know. I don't know if there was anything left after that. We don't hear about it. It's not that Goswamis were living in Vrindavan like beggars and keeping a pot of gold by their bhajan kutirs. They were depending on Krishna, that's all. Raghunath Das Goswami, when he retired, he just left home, but he was, as you know, a very wealthy man, son of the only son of his father and uncle, who were hugely wealthy zamindars. So they tried to keep him from leaving, but when he finally succeeded and went to Puri, then they sent some servants and a monthly stipend, so that our boy won't be in difficulty there in Puri. They sent some servants and a monthly wad, we would say, batch of cash. So then Raghunath Das Goswami was spending the money for distributing prasadam, holding feasts for the Vaishnavas. He'd invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he'd invite the other Vaishnavas, and distribute prasadam. Then, after a while, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Swarup Damodar that I'm not getting invitations anymore from Raghunath. What's happened? Then, no, sir, he thought that I've renounced the world and I'm still living with these servants and the money of my father and uncle, so he's sent them back. And then how is he living? He's standing by the Singhadwar, the main gate to the Jagannath temple, and he's taking some bhiksha. Just whatever, some charity. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later, he said, I don't see Raghunath anymore standing outside the gate. Yes, he was thinking that I'm standing here waiting for someone to give me money, and I'm just like a prostitute. This person will give, this person will give, this person, maybe that, well, that person didn't give, but this person looks like he'll give. So he stopped that. Then how is he living? When the plates are washed by the pujaris, some grains are washed into the drain. So he's collecting those grains very carefully and washing off whatever rot may be there. And he's eating those grains and he's living. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to visit Raghunath. He said, Raghunath, I hear you're taking very nice prasadam and you're not inviting me. And he was snatching those grains. Then Raghunath, my lord, this is not fit for you. What do you mean not fit? It's Raghunath prasadam. Just to encourage him. So in the beginning, he was living with security. And finally, he came to that stage. So nothing should be done artificially, but this gives us some idea. Because finally we have to, our attachment has to be to Krishna. That's our security. Yoga Kshema Vahamyaham, as the insurance company likes to advertise. But those who have transcendental knowledge will know that it's Krishna who's the provider and who supplies what we need. Okay.
But that's one another point of difficulty that is coming up is, okay, we keep 50%, we give to some person who can take care of it so that you are completely relaxed. But that person also might be asking one simple question, that this Lakshmi, you are going to keep it for a long period of time till the time you come to that conclusion of giving it, and it takes some time. So in some part of this money, can we take some risk point of view? Because what happens in the capital market or in a finance
market?
That's
all specified. I mean, this is technical, but in the trust deed, you'll specify that here are the rules. Here, in the trust deed, you specify these are the purposes. It should be for this, it should be for that, and here are the rules. This many trustees, this kind of investment is accepted, that kind of investment is not accepted. You spell it out because you're the trustee. So you're the trustor, the person who's establishing the trust. So if you want it done like this, you tell them do it like this. And then the duty of the trustee, this is trust law, it's not exactly Bhagavatam, but trust law says that the duty of the trustee is to follow the trust document. That's his duty. Whatever you've specified, he can't do something else. So it's up to your... And so you do it, you specify as far as possible what you want done, and then that's it. Of course, you may stay on as trustee for some time, but finally, all right, you've done what you wanted to do, and you have to trust the persons you've appointed.
What I meant to ask you, Maharaj, was this way.
Can there be risk?
Can we take risk?
That you have to decide. Everything's a risk. If you put your money in your pocket, that's a risk because pickpockets are all over Bombay. So everything's a risk, but you have to consider what's an acceptable risk. High risk, if you want to put your savings in high risk, that's up to you. But generally, we might consider that gambling. But prudent risk, moderate risk, risk that you're not going to get knocked out of the game by. Everything is risk. You walk out on the street, it's a risk. But risk should be sensible risks, moderate risks, not the kind of risks that naive people foolishly take, or even that wise people may take. When they're playing a high-risk gambling game, we should be.
Only the problem that comes up.
Any other financial advice you want? Any other financial advice or advice about trust law? Now it's quarter after. After quarter after, I start charging. The sannyasis have to live too.
If they're taking some risk, Maharaj, sometimes the doubt comes up. Here I am vanprastha. Here I am to give myself totally to Krishna. Why I am taking all those tensions on my head? That doubt makes it. And on the other side, we feel it by taking risks.
It's the same. It's the same thing.
More money.
It's the same thing. Whatever my duty is, whether it involves risk, whether it involves finance, whether it involves taking care of a temple, whether it involves teaching a class, whether it involves editing a book, whatever my prescribed duty is, everyone has some prescribed duty, which he has to give up at a certain point. At a certain point, you have to give it up. You're cooking for the deity. You can't cook the deity's offering from now to the end of time. You can't dress the deity just the right way from now till eternity. At a certain point, you have to let go. Therefore, Prabhupada instructed me, as well as others, continue your prescribed duty and train others. Continue your prescribed duty and train others. Train others means because you're going to have to hand it over to them. Even Prabhupada, he knew he wasn't going to, he's founder acharya of ISKCON, but he knew that I'm not going to be on the scene directing the affairs of ISKCON forever. So I have to make an arrangement. He appointed a governing body, he put his men he considered suitable, directed them, did his best to train them while he was present, because he knows I have to go. And in his last days, we saw that practically whatever business, let the GBC, don't tell me about this, don't tell me about that, because now it's over. And so many things, in the beginning he was, on top of everything. Then, for most of the world, he handed it over. India, he practically remained the GBC. But still, so much handing over. And finally, everything handed over. So how you do that, on what schedule or with what strategy, that's a detail. But we have to arrange. We have to understand that I have to hand things over. And from one point of view, the sooner I can hand things over, the better. I was looking for something. I came across some website. The managerial advice was, as soon as you find someone who can do something 80% as well as you can, hand it over. Don't hold on to it. You're looking to push it down. That's successful business. Somebody, one of these big men, Rockefeller or something, says, I meet with my managers for a half hour a day and I tell them what to do and the rest of the time is mine. It's all about picking good men. So in that way, we have to hand everything over. If we just hold on to things, if you just hold on to things, finally it becomes Maya. Finally it becomes Maya. Because as if I'm going to stay forever. So better, Prabhupada's example, hand it over, train. If it's something not that the people are not yet able to handle, then you remain involved and you show them how to do it. And go on in that way. But it's knowing that at some point you just have to give it all over. So you give some, you give more, finally, done. That's letting go, handing over, finally, out of the game. Because I'm going to be out of the game one way or the other. So better to planned exit. They say about the CIA men, that if they're in a room, they'll always choose the place where they have access to the if there are two exits in the building, two exits in the room, they'll sit in a place where they can see the whole room and have quickest access to both exits. In case you ever want to become an intelligence agent. But the idea is they see everything. And they're keeping an eye open how I get out. So we can take This is Krishna consciousness. You can take lessons even from the CIA. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.